Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Dermot in for Oliver today. June is, of course, Pride Month, and organisers and supporters are gearing up for the main Dublin Pride Festival, which takes place at the end of this month with the Dublin Pride Parade on Saturday, the 28th of June. But organisers of rural Pride parades say events like theirs are operating in a tense and uncertain environment. Sean Lavelle is Mayo Pride co-chair, and he's on the line. Morning, Sean.
Hi, good morning, Dermot. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, pleasure. How did you get on last week? You kicked off Ireland's Pride season in Westport. How did it all go?
We did. It went well. We even got a bit of sunshine, which was lovely. But it was a gorgeous weekend. It's always a lot of work, but I think once you get down there and experience the vibe and the buzz around Westport for the weekend, it's always beautiful. And it's really lovely just seeing how many connections take place, like how many new friendships are formed, how many new relationships are built. We all know about Dublin Pride, of course, which takes place at the end of June. But Pride festivals take place in every nook and cranny right across the island of Ireland throughout the summer.
Yeah, no better place than Westport either. I mean, it's almost impossible not to have fun there.
Yeah, Westport's gorgeous. Yeah, yeah. The people are lovely, absolutely lovely.
And did you have to call off the hike up Croagh-Patrick?
We did indeed, because of weather conditions. With the I saw a video of the top of the mountain on Monday, and it was fairly blustery up there. So I think we made the right call.
Yeah, because I mean, you associate a lot of Pride events with nightclubs and partying and that kind of thing. So it's nice to have an alternative, isn't it?
Well, exactly. This is it. I mean, LGBTQ people want to meet in different spaces. Down in Mayo, we're absolutely blessed with the outdoor nature we have available. So we tried to take advantage of that. We organized a hike up Croagh-Patrick, a cycle along the Greenway, you know, different hikes in different locations, which I think people really appreciate because it's something different to just being in a bar constantly.
Yeah, it is. And I think even during the week we were talking about, it's just less and less people taking the boozy option these days. So it's nice to have alternatives no matter what the event. There was a bit of controversy because you shared an image or a meme online and then you had to take it down due to a bit of a backlash. What happened?
We did indeed, yeah. Child of Drag was following me all weekend. So on last Thursday, we reshared an artwork that's already been around for a while. It was originally commissioned, I think, in 2021, which was the Child of Prague in drag. And the idea was, because there was bad weather forecast and we were worried about our gazebos blowing away. So obviously the tradition is you put out the Child of Prague before the wedding for good weather. So we wanted to put out the Child of Drag, with the idea being, you know, it might bring us good weather. And it was meant in a spirit of inclusion and fun, although I totally see how, taken out of context, that wouldn't have come across. I will say, I know the artist who commissioned the artwork. She doesn't have a bad bone in her body. And the idea was that the Child of Prague, I mean, the original Child of Prague statue has hundreds of dresses that have been brought to her by royalty over the centuries. So this artist put the Child of Prague in kind of flamboyant clothing, I guess, or like a feathery coat. But the idea was not to mock or degrade. You know, it was just, the idea was, the original spirit of the artwork was including LGBTQ people in Christianity, where we've been excluded from in the past. That was the idea behind the artwork.
Yeah, I think, but in today's world, I mean, even resharing something that's already out there, you know, it's still an issue and it still attracts. I think as well,
absolutely,
in the atmosphere after the Olympic opening ceremony as well, I think it was quite a large pushback to that as well. And I think it's just it's a space where you have to be careful because I think naturally people are going to be offended. You say that Pride events are struggling at the moment in general. Why is that?
There's a fair few reasons. I mean, one is just kind of rising costs, which are affecting a lot of festivals and events generally. But globally, I mean, Ireland is obviously not immune to what's happening around the world. So you see a backlash against diversity and inclusion policies in the US, for instance. I mean, major prides like San Francisco and New York are struggling and in the red because sponsors have pulled out. Closer to home, for example, even in the EU, in Hungary, prides have been banned altogether. There's a ban pride taking place. So we're not immune to that. I've been monitoring social media for Mayo Pride for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've really seen just how bad things have gotten. I mean, we got a fair amount of pushback on X, for instance, because of Child of Drag. But really, that happens with every event that we post. You know, the amount of times I've been called a paedophile because I've posted an event that's a cycle along the Greenway for women, and a beer tasting, you know, it's we can really feel that increase in hostility happening. I mean, and Child of Drag was a good example of the difference between a, quote, internet storm and what happens in real life. So on Friday, by Friday, we had taken down the image, and I had gone into the local parish priest, had a lovely conversation, because it had been brought to our attention that people in the community weren't happy. So we were like, okay, you know, we did it the old-fashioned way. We had a chat. But it just became like a stick to beat us with afterwards, because it caught the attention of users on X and groups based outside Ireland who have a real problem with pride festivals and think that, you know, women shouldn't have bank accounts. This is the kind of thing that you're dealing with. And they make a lot of noise. It's a minority, but they make a lot of noise.
Did you apologize for the image to the people who would be offended? Because I think that's all you can do in these circumstances.
Yes, and it was all sorted by Friday. I mean, when I went to bed on Friday, I thought Child of Drag was done. The priest down in Westport, who's lovely, said he would pass on the apology to people who had contacted him. And in true Christian spirit, I remember what he said to me when I was leaving was, how is the person who posted the image? Are they doing okay? So you have that kind of real life interaction with people where people are forgiving and, you know, because it's face to face. And then the misinformation that happens on X, it's very interesting to see it happen in real time. I mean, quite soon, these users on X were saying that we were organizing a 7-day drag fest that was going to culminate in a High Cup Kirkpatrick carrying a Child of Drag. I mean, we're a community-based festival. We don't have budget for a 4-day festival, let alone a 7-day drag fest at the top of a mountain.
Well, budget is where a lot of the issues are for a lot of Pride festivals. I saw last night that Liverpool Pride has been cancelled, and I guess, you know, because these parades and festivals rely so heavily on sponsorship because they're expensive things to put
on,
now that the sponsors are withdrawing, when you see companies who in the past have woven diversity and inclusion into their, you know, their fabric of their values, they probably had words like inclusion and diversity in big bold letters in their reception area when you called in. When you see them just turn away from that, does it make you wonder about their conviction in the first place?
Yes, absolutely. It doesn't worry me as much as it would have since I joined the Pride organization, because commercial sponsors are one thing, but what really drives a festival like Mayo Pride is the community. You know, for instance, we did a program this year and we asked businesses if they would be interested in putting in an ad, local businesses around the town, around Mayo. And we had to close the submissions pretty quickly because the program was already full. So I do question their conviction, of course, but Pride has always been powered by community. And it's a, you know, the county council is amazing, local businesses are amazing, local people are really wonderfully supportive. So I think we're just going to rely on them in future.
Are you living in Dublin at the moment?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I'm from Mayo.
How safe do you feel in Dublin?
Pretty safe. Yeah. I'm quite lucky. I think it depends. If you're kind of gender non-conforming, for instance, you're going to attract a lot more of that attention and that hate. So I don't want to speak for the whole community. I do know that I've been involved in the Irish Pride organization now for 5 years. And genuinely, Irish people are incredibly supportive and wonderful. I do worry about us taking things for granted. You know, for instance, this weekend at Mayo Pride, I had a friend visiting from Hungary. And when the rest of us in Ireland are celebrating Dublin Pride at the end of June, my friend Thomas is going to be going back to Hungary for a band pride where which is going to be monitored by facial recognition technology. And Budapest is only like a 3-hour flight away. You know, I just don't want us to rest on our laurels. We have something really special here in Ireland. I think we're really a beacon, or could be a beacon for the rest of the world on LGBTQ rights. I'd like us to...
Rob has sent us a text. Sorry to cut across you there, Sean, but I'm a gay man. He says, I'm a gay man from Mayo and I cannot be more supportive of rural prides. They provide visibility, enhance community and reduce isolation for LGBTQI plus persons living in rural Ireland. To see Westport with pride flags hanging, the local community, although less than previous years, cheering on the parade or beeping horns was extremely uplifting. It affirmed a sense of acceptance, love and belonging within Mayo, which can only be good for the society as a whole and something we need to protect. And I mean, you know, as a nation, you know, we voted for inclusion, you know, just if you cast our minds back to just 10 years ago to 2015. So what are the small things we can do, do you think? You know, if the money is disappearing to celebrate these events, what would you like to see done?
Get involved with a community organization. I think the opposite of extremism is community. Get involved with your local pride, with your local men's shed, with any local organization that does that work on the ground of helping to build community and bring people together. My impression of reading a lot of those posts on X, which were coming from outside Ireland, but that's not the point, is that, I mean, I don't know if half of them are real, were they bots? But and the other half is kind of like it's people who were very lonely and disconnected, and they're connecting over extremism and scapegoating. So anything you can do to get involved in the community and get people meeting face to face is amazing. And just get off the internet, get off social media. It needs to be in person. It needs to be concrete action.
Yeah, I think we could all do with less social media in our lives, if we're honest.
Especially me up this weekend.
I'm sure. Sean Lavelle, Mayo Pride co-chair, thanks for chatting to us this morning.
Thanks so much, Dermot.
Bye-bye. 51551 0870 32 32 32, or oliver at rte.ie if you want to get in touch. Thanks to Mayo Pride, says Aileen, the team, for a wonderful weekend. Very important rural LGBTQ plus people getting together in a welcoming space. Right, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to a pair of actors who are not only a couple on stage, but they're a couple in real life too.
Email oliver@rte.ie.